Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with Rachel Herbeck. My daughter has been my guest this week. It's been a lot of fun just talking about God's work in her life, talking about the power of God's Word, its transformational power that it's meant to have in the lives of each and every one of us. It's so enriching. It's so upbuilding because it just fills the heart and the mind with God's truth, and God's truth changes us. When God's Word comes to us, it makes us new. So welcome back, Rach.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, wanted to have you back again because we didn't complete yesterday what we had started, which we were...
Time goes too fast for talkers.
<laughs> Yeah. We were looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, the introduction there, and then Romans chapter 8. And we ended with that beautiful, beautiful section in Romans chapter 8 where Paul is saying to us, he said, "For all those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." Now, everyone who's baptized into Jesus, everyone who's been baptized, has received the gift of the Holy Spirit. The question is, do we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? That is, do we yearn to know who the Holy Spirit is, to say yes to the Spirit, as the recent popes have all said so many times, to be surrendered to the Spirit, to be docile to the Spirit, to be obedient to the grace and the power of the Spirit, which is absolutely key, I think, for being able to grasp what Paul is speaking about right here, right? We got to that section in here where he said, when the Spirit of God is in us, he said, "For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of sonship." So let's talk about the fear for a minute. He's saying, like, you fall back into fear. What does that say to you? What do you think he's talking about there? Fear of what?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big question. I think fear of a lot of things. I think in my own life, it's, I fall back into fear because I don't actually grasp the fact that I am a child of God and that I have that inheritance. There's not enough confidence there. And so moving forward in my life and my relationship with the Lord, and whether it's my purpose or my job and all of these things, we fall back into fear of things we can't control, right? And so I think there's fear of what my life is going to look like, of who I am, and a lot of different things. I don't know.
There's fear of death, which Paul describes, and or the writer of Hebrews describes, could be Paul. We're not 100% certain. Scholars differ on the authorship of Hebrews, but essentially there's a lot of Pauline themes there. And one of the things that it's stated in the second chapter, verse 14 and following, is it's the devil's strategy to enslave the human race through the fear of death. So that's when we're under the power of sin, as Paul would describe it, that is, we're in a relationship of hostility with God. We're born into sin, and death is our destiny. Death casts a shadow over the human mind and the human heart, and it instills fear in us, the fear of dying, the fear of death, the fear of facing ultimate impending judgment, or life having no meaning is another part of it. Or people are afraid their life has no purpose, or that they themselves have no value. And so lots of human beings are fighting with this terrible battle inside, like, like, I'm worthless. My meaning, my life is worthless. I've just, like, the core of who they are is not worth anything, right? That's an attack of the devil and what Paul's getting after here in some way.
Yeah. And I think, too, something this I was thinking of as you were speaking, a conversation that I was having with a friend of mine, and we were talking about different times in our relationship with God that, you know, this discouragement that we felt that even having a relationship with God and knowing the Lord, that we've still experienced that emptiness or that worthlessness or that fear. So just like to encourage anybody who's listening and saying, well, I go to Mass, you know, I would say I'm a disciple, but I still experience, you know, that feeling of that fear, that worthlessness. I would say not to be discouraged by that, that that's normal. I think just because you believe in Jesus doesn't mean it's a snap and an automatic thing. Well, now I have all these truths and, you know, I never doubt it or I never feel that. So to even when we are walking with the Lord and even when we know what we have to, it's a constant everyday thing to wake up and believe. Sometimes in my own life, that's when I feel the worthlessness and I have to check myself because I don't actually believe that my destiny has been changed. And I think, you know, in the world, I think one of the things that could totally radically change the world is to have a church that is believing, a full body of people in the church who are believing every day that our destiny has been changed from death to life. Like, do we actively believe that? Even, you know, that could change the entire world, you know. So to say, one, don't be discouraged if you're still, if you're experiencing emptiness and you don't feel giddy and, you know, excited all the time about these truths. But then to say every single day, I have to check myself and say, you know, what you said, do I genuinely believe that my destiny is no longer death? Because sometimes I live like it is.
Yeah. I think the importance of the daily reading of the Word of God is found right here in this place, to be able to say, it's this word that has power to help renew my mind and give me a fresh new spiritual way of thinking about myself. Mm-hmm. And to say, it's a good thing when we're reading scripture to say, Holy Spirit, help me believe this about my own life and about my own family. Help me to believe I'm a child of God. Help me understand what that means. Help me to know Jesus. Jesus, help me to see the Father as you see the Father. And Jesus said, if you seek, you yearn for his truth, you receive it. You'll go deeper. And so it's interesting. Paul goes on to say in verse 18, after talking about being an heir and having confidence in the glory that's there, he then goes on to say, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So Paul, in his own mind, one of the things he's saying is, I've been experiencing suffering in this world. You know, some of the letters he wrote here were written from prison. The list of things Paul lived through would lead most people to say, either God doesn't exist in this bad world, or he just doesn't like me. You know what I mean? He was shipwrecked. He many sleepless nights. He was beaten three times with 39 lashes each time. You know, he was stoned. All kinds of things that happened to him. He was imprisoned, but he could say, okay, now I'm objectively enduring circumstances in this life maybe I'd rather not have. You know, I'm suffering. It's difficult. So I'm sure there were times the devil was saying to him, oh yeah, where's your God? Hey, heir, Mr. Heir, where are you? I mean, he doesn't seem to be protecting you. Your life isn't going so great, is it? No one's listening to you. They're shutting you down, buddy. Your program is over, right? So they're, I'm sure the devil's picking on him, but he would say, he would compare the present suffering, the glory that awaits me. You know, so he lived with hope. He lived with a confident expectation that the glory that belonged to Jesus and that he tasted a couple times in his life, at different times, he tasted the glory, that that's his permanent destiny. And that gives him strength in the moment.
Yeah. And I think Paul taps into this, this glory of God. And we touched on it in one of our earlier programs, so you can go and listen to that. But the glory of God to be revealed to us, right? So we were created, our original state, you know, before the fall, before sin, was to be in the glory of God, to be in the glory of the Father, to be there. And so what Jesus does is he comes and restores us to that place so that we can enter in to God's glory. And in this process, we've been talking about this process of, you know, going back to even First Peter, that talks about the process of being chosen, destined. So we receive our identity and God brings us through the Spirit, through the sanctification process. And one of the things that the Spirit does in us, both as we read scripture and that as we function under the Holy Spirit, is give us a desire for that glory, a hunger for that glory of God, you know, almost back, helps bring us back to our original state, which was to be like Jesus. And so in order to actually have this outlook, you know, it's not like the glory of God was some random far off thing to Paul that he was like, well, I guess hopefully maybe this will be better and I'm just kind of winging it. But he always had the end in mind, right? This living hope, this living expectation. And so to be confident as we move forward, God will actually give us tastes. And maybe you've had an experience like that, will give us tastes of his glory. Or I know for me in my own life, that's something that has pushed me forward of just these, even if it's just milliseconds in prayer, not an emotional experience or anything like that, but just these tastes for a second in the darkness of even a tiny bit of the fullness of who God is and what we will see when we die at the end of our lives, or what we will see, you know, at the end of the world when it talks about the Son of Man coming down on the clouds, you know, and that stirs up enough in me to keep going, you know? And so God will give us those things, will give us those tiny experiences of his glory, and we just have to keep the end in mind, really. So that's really what it's about for Paul, is the end, right? The end of that time when the glory of God will be revealed. And so to ask ourselves, you know, am I too caught up in these daily tasks and these daily things? Or as I'm reading the scripture, am I actually able to look forward to heaven? Am I actually able to look forward? And if I'm not, then maybe take some time to meditate on, you know, what that will be like, what heaven will be like. Because if we don't look forward to it, we don't have an understanding of what it actually is.
Yeah. Yeah, Paul goes on here to say, we know that the whole creation has been groaning with labor pains together until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So Paul is saying, for in this hope we are saved. And he's saying, even us who have received the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. as the down payment, it's the guarantee, it's the inheritance, it's the promissory note, as mm-hmm. it were, of a full inheritance. So we experience something of God here in the power of the Holy Spirit. We see in the saints how deep that reality can become here on earth, but we see the ultimate destiny through the eyes of faith. Mm-hmm. And so we said, we still groan like, oh, you know, some days, mm-hmm. some days I feel like I'm groaning. I just want to say, Lord, Lord, where are you? Lord, yes, I'll take the glorified body now, Lord. Yes, I want to enter your glory now. And because it's difficult, and it's just like it was for Jesus, mm-hmm. right? And this is why he became one of us. He walked on the earth and he was despised, rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with much grief. And so Jesus tells us, I know exactly what you're going through mm-hmm. in this world, because you can experience alienation, you can experience rejection and pain, and that's not your permanent life. Mm-hmm. You're in this world, you're on a pilgrimage, you're on a journey, mm-hmm. and it's filled with trials, it's filled with rewards, it's filled with all kinds of things, but it's all pointing toward an ultimate rest and an mm-hmm. ultimate destiny in heaven.
And I think we experience, a lot of times we experience the groaning and we don't know how to label it as that. We don't know what that is. And I think a term that a friend of mine uses that I like is holy restlessness or holy unrest. You know, mm-hmm. that even if we're walking with the Lord and, you know, we're in a time where we're like, yeah, I'm like hitting my stride and I'm walking with the Lord and life is great, that there's still this gap, right? Because we're created for that glory that we really can't have until we're there. You know, it's this groaning that Paul is talking about. And so just an encouragement to not, a lot of times I think we feel that groaning because we don't like how that feels. You know, we feel that gap, which is actually a good sign, that detachment and that space in our lives, but we feel it by, we don't want to feel that, right? Because it doesn't feel good. And so to not feel that by picking up our phones or doing other things, but sitting with that and resting in that. And then also one way I think about that groaning in Paul, when he talks about is, we have that groaning experience for us, and do we have that for other people as well? You know, like a holy unrest in ourselves for heaven and to get there. And are we concerned about the fact that other people don't have that or don't experience that? You know, like, do mm-hmm. we want other people, are we conscious of and aware of other people having this experience of longing for heaven and longing for God's glory? Because mm-hmm. that's how they're going to get there.
Yeah, very good. This little simple line, it's really powerful. The last line that I had read, we'll end the program with this today, just verse 24 here in Romans chapter 8. Rachel, my daughter, is here with me today, and we're just going to close the program with this simple words of St. Paul. For in this hope, we were saved. You have been saved. You are being saved. You will be saved. The church teaches us, as Scripture does, and we know it because of the hope that's been given to us in Christ. Our hope is a person, Jesus, who died and rose again and sits at the right hand of the Father. One of us is at the right hand of the Father, and he's given us the Holy Spirit that speaks to us and gives us conviction that we share what belongs to him. Friends, that's your gift as well. Let's live in it today. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.